You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. Life in Wisconsin has transformed since Governor Tony Evers declared a public health emergency on March 12th. Businesses are shuttered across the state while public health officials urge people to stay home. But some businesses continue, and that includes the filing of medical debt lawsuits against patients. Bram Sable-Smith reports.
Blanche Jordan is taking social distancing seriously. When she's not at work as a caregiver at an assisted living facility near Milwaukee, she's at home, likely playing one of the games she has to pass the time. On Sunday night at 8 p.m., she was starting a 1,000-piece Game of Thrones puzzle on her living room floor.
And I get this doorbell, and, you know, I put my mask and stuff on, and I go to the door, and gives me this paper and talking about you've been served. I'm like, what the hell?
Yes. Someone showed up at her house on a Sunday evening during the pandemic with a stay-at-home order in effect to serve her with a $7,000 lawsuit from Frederick Hospital in Milwaukee.
This lady came to my door. She didn't have a mask on. She didn't have gloves. Not saying gloves would have made a difference, but unmasked. And she looking at me like I'm crazy because I got a whole mask across my face.
This is not the first time Jordan's incurred medical debt. Her bills from breast cancer treatment led her to declare bankruptcy in 2017. She's in remission now, by the way. Plus, she just paid off a different $5,000 debt to Frederick. That was for a hysterectomy she didn't realize would not be covered by her insurance.
I did give them my insurance card. They ran it.
But no one told her they did not accept it. Jordan thinks the new debt she's being sued over might be the remainder of the hysterectomy bill. But she says it's scary to get served during a pandemic. Yet, an analysis by WPR and Wisconsin Watch found at least 104 small claim suits filed by Wisconsin hospitals since March 12th, the day Governor Tony Evers declared a public health emergency. Jessica Roulette's an attorney with Legal Action of Wisconsin.
I think the COVID-19 pandemic has presented particular problems for collection of medical debt through the court system.
Roulette says there are practices in the court system that are at odds with public health best practices, like serving papers in person and statute of limitation deadlines to file lawsuits.
I would also hope that to some extent, the people who are owed money are able to show a little grace.
A spokesperson for Frederick says they suspended filing small claim suits on March 18th. Jordan's case was filed before that. But court records show at least 18 small claim suits have been filed on the hospital's behalf since then, including 15 yesterday. Spokespeople from UW Health, Gunderson, Aspirus, and Marshfield Clinic all told WPR they've suspended small claim suits during the pandemic. Ongoing suits like Jordan's are in a murkier area. Bobby Peterson is executive director of the public interest law firm ABC Health.
It's a disconnect between, you know, the hospital and the law firms that they've retained to pursue these issues.
He says hospitals need to do a better job of communicating their policies to those law firms. Getting sued by a hospital over an unpaid medical bill is stressful under even normal circumstances. This pandemic, Peterson says, is a whole new ballgame.
We're seeing massive amounts of dislocated workers who are losing their jobs and in many cases their health insurance coverage.
Meanwhile, Blanche Jordan's day in court has been postponed due to the new coronavirus. She says it's frustrating.
Which is it? Do you want to sue me or do you want to wait?
For now, she'll keep staying home, likely playing games to pass the time. Unless she's at work at the assisted living facility near Milwaukee. Bram Sable-Smith, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And now here on The Morning Show, we are talking about COVID-19. It is not an overstatement that we have changed our way of life right now as we try to prevent the spread. And your questions are welcome at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about preventing or trying to avoid the new coronavirus? What do you wonder about cleaning or social distancing? What are you experiencing? Are you worried about what to do if you start showing symptoms? Let us know what questions you have about the illness and how to handle it at 800-642-1234. 1234. You have a line right now at 800-642-1234. We have Dr. Mary Beth Graham, who is an internal medicine and infectious disease specialist at the Medical College of Wisconsin, joining us. She specializes in infections in immunocompromised individuals and influenza treatment and prevention, also the prevention and transmission of hospital-associated infections. Dr. Graham, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
You know, COVID-19, this disease caused by the new coronavirus, has now been confirmed in two-thirds of Wisconsin's counties. What can we definitively say is part of the process of this virus spreading?
So, I mean, like any respiratory virus, when we look at seasonal respiratory viruses, the normal human coronaviruses, rhinoviruses, influenza, I don't mean to be too technical. It's a droplet spread person to person. So it's either on the hands of an infected individual, it's on an infected surface that somebody has touched, that somebody else touches, and they touch their face or their mouth, or it's within that 6 feet of being with somebody who's coughing or sneezing because of those droplets that can go about that distance, and then people breathe them in. That's basically the primary way that it's spread.
It seems like this is spreading quickly. Is that accurate, or is that our perception?
So there's a lot of testing that is being done out there. I mean, the thing is that in the state we're seeing more and more cases, but pretty much at our hospital, it's about, of the people that we test, it's about 12% of the people who are tested are testing positive. Compare that to when we were at the height of influenza season, we were checking, it was up 30-35% of people that were being tested for influenza were testing positive. We expect that percentage to increase. The thing about coronavirus, though, about this this specific coronavirus, is that not everybody has the same set of symptoms, whereas influenza's fairly classic, with an acute onset of a fever, body aches, chills, et cetera. Coronavirus can present in a number of different ways. Many people we're now finding out are asymptomatic. They don't have really any symptoms, or may have mild runny nose or a little bit of a sore throat, but not much of anything else. There are some reports of people presenting initially with more GI symptoms, with nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. We don't see that with influenza. We need more data. I mean, the thing right now that we're working off of, and pretty much everybody in the country is working off of, is that we're using anecdotes of what we've seen and what the presentations are to try to get more information about what should we look for. There were reports that some people were presenting saying that they had an alteration in their taste sensation, but that was one report. So it's confusing to providers, and I'm sure it's confusing to the public because things keep changing out there in the media. What we need is over time is to look at all of these factors, take time to look back at them over time and say, okay, what exactly are those presenting symptoms? What things can we count on? When should we consider, et cetera? Anecdotes, as I tell my trainees, because I work with a lot of residents and fellows at the Medical College of Wisconsin, anecdotes, the plural of anecdotes isn't data. So there needs to be a lot done. And so we're asking for patience. We know a lot of people are upset that, why don't you know this right now? And there's not enough information to get to that point.
Dr. Mary Beth Graham stays with us. She's the Medical Director of Infection Prevention and Control for Frederick Hospital. And we want to hear from you. The number is 1-800-642-1234. What do you need to know about keeping safe and healthy right now? What information do you need to understand about trying to prevent this new coronavirus? Is someone in your family someone with a compromised immune system? What concerns do you have right now for the people who are most vulnerable? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Our conversation continues here on The Morning Show. This is the Ideas Network. Wisconsin has more than 1,300 confirmed cases of COVID-19, and health experts expect that number to go up. Early on, some people likened the new coronavirus to influenza. And the more we learn about the disease, the more that comparison doesn't really hold up. We're learning more from an infectious disease expert here on The Morning Show. Thanks for being with us on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. And you can join in with your questions for Dr. Mary Beth Graham at 800-642-1234 as we talk about the spread of COVID-19. Graham is the Medical Director of Infection Prevention and Control for Frederick Hospital. And Dr. Graham, you also study influenza, and help us understand how COVID-19's virus is different from the seasonal flu that we talk about, because there were many comparisons to that, especially in the beginning.
So the reason that there were a lot of comparisons is that, again, they spread similarly by droplet transmission. Influenza and coronaviruses are in totally different classes of viruses. Their structure is different. Coronaviruses are kind of special. They're what we call enveloped viruses, such that they may be a little bit more hardy to exist on a surface rather than influenza for other things. Originally, we thought they wouldn't be as able to exist on a surface longer, but some of the newer reports out say that they can stay on, like, cardboard or plastic for a bit longer than what we thought that they would be able to. Influenza is very much a upper respiratory infection, can cause a pneumonia, but most of the time with influenza, we see a secondary bacterial pneumonia causing the problem. A primary influenza pneumonia, or influenza being in the lower part of the lung causing pneumonia, is much less common. This coronavirus is different. The human coronaviruses that normally circulate, which cause the common cold, all exist up in the nose and the throat. And when we look at the SARS and the MERS, the other coronaviruses that now SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19 are more similar to those, they liked to hang out in the lower lung. And that's why there was such a significant, you saw a lot more problems with pneumonias and actually deaths from pneumonia with those. This one is kind of in between. It likes both places. It likes your upper nose and respiratory tract and can hang out there and cause symptoms as, you know, again, as mild as a common cold, or it can get down into your lower respiratory tract and cause a pneumonia. And when it causes a pneumonia, the immune response that the body makes to it is what is leading to a lot of the problems that we've seen with patients who end up on ventilators. We call it ARDS, where the lung essentially, there's a response in the lung where the body's making certain substances, it's going after it, it's trying to fight it, but in your body's process of trying to fight it, it also causes lung damage. So this virus is very, very different than what we saw with SARS and MERS. It's very different than the circulating coronaviruses. It is different than influenza because it can do both, and it seems to do both. Again, over time, we'll figure out what the balance is. Does it like more the upper respiratory tract or the lower? We're only going to know that down the line when we're able to do more types of testing.
More time, more information gathering,
more,
for sure.
More time, yeah. More information. I think the thing that'll be very telling is with every type of new infection, sometimes they go back and they'll do what we call antibody testing. Antibody testing right now really doesn't give us much information. But down the line, from an epidemiology standpoint, we can do what are called seroseveys and then look back and say, oh, my, this many people actually are positive for this, and they were probably asymptomatic and didn't have it. There's going to be a lot coming out about this over the next year or two or more.
And we are talking with Dr. Mary Beth Graham, who's an infectious disease expert and specializes in influenza treatment and prevention. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234 as we talk about the spread of COVID-19. And Mary from Pewaukee wants to join us now. Hi, Mary.
Hi, good morning to you and your guests. I have actually a three-parter, and it's probably, like you just said, that you won't know for the next year or two possibly. But in your testing, when might we find out if you can actually get it twice, as some people, you know, can get the flu twice, maybe this year and then, you know, down the road. The second part would be, might it ever be erased from the earth? And the third is, if it does, could it come back actually even worse, which my husband kind of presented as a nurse, but...
Okay. Mary, thanks for those questions for sure. Dr. Mary Beth, we're hearing a theme of recurrence there with Mary.
So the issue of getting it twice, that's a really interesting question, because what's been published just recently is that in China, they've gone back and they've been screening people who in Wuhan who were previously positive and totally recovered, and they've screened them and their nose swabs are still positive. And the question has come up, did they get it again, or are they carriers of this? That's a big question. It's a huge question that we don't know yet. There are many of the normal respiratory viruses that we see, like rhinovirus and the other, again, human coronaviruses that we see just every single year. People can carry those sometimes in their upper respiratory tract and essentially be asymptomatic. How well you would actually spread that to somebody else is really thought to not be significant, because if you're not coughing or sneezing or et cetera, then you shouldn't be able to spread it. But can you get it twice? Big question. We don't think the antibody response that people, so when people get exposed to an infectious agent, one of the ways that your body protects you from getting it again is it makes an antibody response. That's why we give people immunizations. Like with influenza, we give you a vaccine so that you make antibodies against influenza. And then that helps protect you against influenza. There's also a lot of data out there about the variability on some people making robust antibody responses versus not making robust antibody responses. Again, more data needs to come out. So I don't know the answer to that, but most of the stuff I've seen about quote unquote people getting it twice is just because they've swabbed, their swabs are still positive, but it seems like people have no symptoms at that time.
The answer to a lot of these things, because it is a brand new virus to the human body, you know, will be an issue of waiting. We've got Doreen in Weston who also has a question. Good morning, Doreen.
It's Doreen, but thanks.
Good morning, I'm sorry, Doreen. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Doreen the bathtub. Good April Fool's. I wish it all was an April Fool's thing. I heard three things. China said that they noticed people with type O blood was less likely to get it, and if they did get it, it was less severe, not 100% of the cases, and this was over type A. And also, I heard it has less chance to mutate to different strains like the regular flu. So if they do a vaccine, will it be a type like where they incorporate it with the flu shot, or will it be a standalone shot you'd have to get every year, or once? It's just more like the measles where you get it when you're a kid and you're good to go. Those were a few of my questions.
Okay. So number one, you taught me something. I didn't know about the type O and the type A blood, so now I'm going to have to Google that as soon as I'm off the line. There's so much coming out, so I had not heard that. So I apologize. I cannot respond on that one. With regards to mutation of this particular virus, I mean, right now they've already reported that there are, as they've cloned out or grown the virus, like either in South Korea or in Singapore, et cetera, that there are minor differences between the viruses that are of the SARS-CoV-2, but they're not enough to actually make them significantly different. So whereas influenza, again, during the year, the flu can change itself, but then it can make these big shifts. I'm not 100% sure whether coronaviruses don't seem to be similar in that fact, but again, I don't have a crystal ball on that one. The thing with the vaccine, one of the concerns about vaccine is you've got to find something. Is there something about the coronavirus that is a stable part of that virus, which so that you can make a vaccine that would be kind of universal to all coronaviruses, whether it's the human ones that cause the common cold versus the other. Influenza changes so much. That's why you have to get the flu shot every year, because it's a different type of influenza that we'll see each year. They change enough so that the vaccine from the previous year isn't going to work. Coronaviruses, we don't think that will be the case, but again, we can't guarantee that that will be the case.
Right. And Dr. Mary Beth Graham, I'm so sorry that we have to stop here, but we have so many questions for you and would love to have you back. Thank you so much for doing a little bit of myth busting and catching us up here as we try to navigate this new coronavirus. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. Dr. Mary Beth Graham is an internal medicine and infectious disease specialist at the Medical College of Wisconsin. And we are taking more questions, this time about public policy when it comes to COVID-19. How do you think private industry and government leaders can work together? What should we be doing as a whole? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. This is The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. News is next.